Good evening. Welcome to the Porch on Fire Fall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grund, broadcasting live from the Firefall Network Studios here on Spreaker.com. Of course, this will be archived immediately afterward, and you can still find the archived recordings on the old Blog Talk Radio account. Getting back to basics, taking a look at the Word of God, the Book of Acts Church, going deeper into how they serve the Lord so that we can understand it and apply it. Church age is not over. I don't believe it'll be over until the Lord comes back or takes the church out of here, whichever comes first. But what took place in the upper room and on the day of Pentecost is just as vital and vibrant and real now as it ever was before. So don't give up on that. If you're being told that it doesn't apply anymore or you believe it, let us prove you wrong. The Porch is an outreach of Solomon's Porch, Inc. On solomonsporch.org is that website. Firefalltalkradio.com is the broadcast site. You can find all of the shows that we do, Reflections in the Dark and Firefall, and The Porch, I'm sorry, on the Spreaker account, www.spreaker.com/user/Firefall Talk Radio, all one word. And yes, that was easy for me to say. And come January, there will be a dedicated app for your Android or Apple smartphones and tablets, so that come 7 o'clock on Wednesday or Sunday, you can just hit the app and there will be. Starting up, praise reports and prayer requests. I only have two tonight. One is from Brian in Culioca. Praise report, the favor that his business has begun to receive. And folks, I want you to keep blessing Kunze, K-U-N-Z-E, Promotions. Keep praying for God to overwhelm him so that he has to hire more people. Right now it's him and his son. And let's just pray it in. Let's just pray so much business in that it just wall to wall with products and orders, and bless him beyond anything you could think or imagine. Favor for the incredibly warm weather that they're having. They're enjoying it, as are we here in Florida, and for the Lord's soon return. Prayer request, healing miracles for his wife Cindy, my wife Deb, and for all the others that are mentioned on Wednesday nights tonight and in the past. And I'm hoping that I can get it together to do a recap of all the prayer requests on the final Wednesday of this year, which I think is next week or the week after. So it'll give me time to get it together. Pray for those who are suffering a loss to find peace that surpasses all our understanding. Pray for wisdom and discernment to live in these last days. And pray for the protection of all those listening to the teaching tonight. And pray for the believers being so violently persecuted across the world. Oh boy, is that we are watching the blood of the saints be spilled in a way that hasn't been seen since the days of the early church, the persecution, and it's only going to get worse. Second submission is from Stacy in Fort Mitchell. A praise report, her semester is almost over and she's hanging in there, third of the way done through her first paper. Everyone is healed up, no more respiratory issues, praise the Lord. Winter break is coming. Prayer request, she's still waiting on the VA to come through, and she needs for it to come through. Let's pound on heaven until that barrier, whatever's holding it back, is removed so that she can be blessed and her family can pay the bills that they need. Pray for the Fort Mitchell crew, her mom to be saved, her dog's getting a PTSD service dog certification so that she can go with Stacy wherever she goes. So, excuse me, let's just pray that through. Father, I just thank you right now, even for those that didn't get a prayer request in on time. I pray that as they think about it and offer it up to you, we'll all touch and agree. I pray for healing in those that need healing. I pray for comfort for those that need comfort. I pray for favor that those that need favor. Father, we praise you for your love. You are an awesome daddy, an awesome Abba. We love you. We worship you. We thank you. We thank you for loving us when we were unlovable. We thank you for Yeshua sending your only son, the only one who could pay the debt that we had accrued. It wasn't his. He paid it anyway. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the empty tomb. We thank you for the upper room. We thank you that he took captivity captive and made a public spectacle of the powers of darkness when he sat down at your right hand, Father. We thank you for the power and the authority that he has delegated to us in Yeshua's name, that we can walk in this fallen world. We can shine in the darkness. We can be beacons in this final hour to lead people home. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for what you did. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that you sent to us, working with us, walking with us, encouraging us, cheering us on, comforting us. We thank you for those things, that you've not abandoned us. We're not orphans. We thank you for the fact that you're alive. You're not some plaster of Paris icon or some false deity or man-made entity. You are alive, and the whole world will see you upon your return. And the nation Israel will see the one whom they have pierced, and they will mourn. We thank you for the words of encouragement and prophecy and things that are coming through that are encouraging us and keeping us going. We praise you for that. Father, we love you. Bless this time. Bless my words. Help me get through this tonight, Lord. Help me to say what you want me to say. Have your way, Holy Spirit. It's your time. We surrender all to you. And I pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. These lessons are proprietary information, except where noted that the information comes from outside sources. Combination of that information and the matter presented is exclusive, cannot be repeated or overused without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Tonight's lesson, if you will, is called Times and Seasons. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose or activity under heaven. Ecclesiastes 3, especially what I read, is about the role of time in the life of the believer. It's about life lessons. If you've listened to me all these years or read my book, The Supernatural Battle, you know that the Lord speaks to me and gives me revelations through life lessons. My transition to where I am now in my anointing and my understanding of the supernatural and many of the things I teach regarding sound and the DNA and all the things that I expounded upon in the book came from the loss of my dog Samson. In December of 2006, on the 28th, he will be gone 9 years. And through that and through everything that took place in his sudden passing and how it happened and came many of the revelations I share with you now and I have shared since then. Well, a new life lesson has come my way that will be difficult to talk about because it's so fresh, but I felt led to do it because the one thing I've always done in his ministry in my life is to be transparent, even if it hurts. Yesterday, our 13-year-old boy named Boaz, called him Bo for short, went over the Rainbow Bridge, as they call it. No more pain, no more suffering, no more distress. And unlike the suddenly of Samson, and without the answer to prayer for the Lord to just take him peacefully, it was a decision that we had to make. And I've been looking for the answers of why. I don't believe anything happens in my life without a reason. I believe he controls every aspect of my life because I've given him that control. I don't believe the enemy does anything without either his authority or my implied permission through my actions or lack thereof. And I believe that applies to all of us. But Bo was 13. His hips gave out on Sunday night. It has happened before, but he's always pulled it back together and made it on. But on Sunday night, they gave out and did not come back. And for the next 12 hours or so, he pulled himself around on his belly and was more upset with the fact that I was upset than what he was dealing with. And the next day, he kind of got them back. He was wobbly, and he gave me that look that every dog owner knows. So we had to make the decision, and a wonderfully compassionate group here in Central Florida called Lap of Love came over and helped. So why? Why did this happen? Well, I could say it was his time. Even though his heart seemed to be strong and he had a will to stay, his hips didn't. And we know that's all a part of owning, I hate to call them pets because they're family members for us. Not for everybody, but for us. But Ecclesiastes 3 came to my mind. I kept thinking all day, still raw with emotion. Kept hearing times and seasons. To everything there is a season and fullness of time. And I'll expound upon that. But I began to wonder, how does this apply? How did this event in my life, apply? Well, it comes after Hanukkah. It comes after some of the things I said about a change and a transition in my ministry and in how the Lord's going to use me. It comes at a time of change. It comes in a time of new season. And for whatever reason, Bo won't be here. For that season. I am at peace with the fact that he's no longer in pain and he's at peace. But it doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. But how many things in our life seem to be prayers that go unanswered, that we don't understand why, we don't understand the outcome, we don't understand the event. Loss of a pet, loss of a loved one, a tragedy, a divorce, all these things that happen in our life that are a part of this natural life that we don't understand, and I think it comes down to times and seasons. Now, the writer of Ecclesiastes is called the preacher, but we know it's Solomon. And he's not teaching that everything has an opportune time according to choice or action. No, he's teaching that the events are all in the hand of God, who makes everything happen in the time he deems appropriate, which is why he has 14 pairs of life opposites. So, in Ecclesiastes 1, a time, a season to everything, it's regarded to specific points in time rather than a continuity of time. Everything, when he says under the heaven, it means everything in the sphere of life, everything under the sun, everything that's in this world that he created for us. Adam Clark in his commentary says this, and let me read it. I thought it was good enough to cut and paste it. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose. Two general remarks may be made on the first 8 verses of this chapter. God, by his providence, governs the world and has determined particular things and operations to particular times. In those times, such things may be done with propriety and success, but if we neglect the appointed seasons, we sin against this providence and become authors of our own distresses. And we see that with the children of Israel over and over. That's my commentary inserted into his commentary. 2, God has given to man the portion of a duration called time, the space in which all the operations of nature, of animals, and intellectual beings are carried on. But while nature is steady in its course and animals are faithful to their instincts, man devotes it to a great variety of purposes, but very frequently to that for which God never made time, space, or opportunity. And all we can say when an evil deed is done is there was a time in which it was done, though God never made it for that purpose. To say anything further on this subject is needless, as the words themselves give in general their own meaning. The Jews, it is true, see in these times and seasons all the events of their own nation, from the birth of Abraham to the present times, as to the fathers and their followers. They see all the events and the states of the Christian church in them. It is worthy of remark, he says, that in all this list there are but 2 things which may be said to be done generally by the disposal of God, and in which men can have little influence, the time of birth and the time of death. But all others are left to the option of man, though God continues to rule over them by providence. Well, to understand this, we have to understand time. And we have to understand how things work. Biblically, time is the chronological sequence of life and its significances. But remember, it's written by the one who said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Revelation 22:13. Basically says, I am outside of time. He's not governed by time. He is the Lord of time. He is sovereignly present in all the events of time, but confronting and guiding his people with warnings and promises and directions. You know, the things we call the signs of the times. He is not caught up in time. He's not governed by it. And he encounters us, his finite, loving creatures that he calls his children, in each moment of our temporal existence, making each day a new opportunity for judgment or blessing or repentance. Now, all the times I've gone through moments like this, from the loss of the twins when my wife and I's first pregnancy, her first pregnancy, to the distress in our marriage and my life before I got saved, and all the attacks and illnesses and things that happen after, I've always kept the faith and I've always kept my love, and I've never wavered in how I felt about him. But like any child, doesn't matter how old I am or how gray my beard is, you cry and want to know why. But if I go to Lamentations 3, a chapter called The Anguish of a Prophet, this is what he says. My soul remembers and sinks within me, and this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, great is your faithfulness. His mercies is new every morning, great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Because of who he is, both the Old and the New Testament speak of him as everlasting, eternal. And the Hebrew words translated for eternal and eternity, along with the New Testament Greek equivalents, basically mean endless or perpetuity. There's an absence of any temporal conditions marking a finite creature. To say that he's eternal from a biblical standpoint means that his existence are the brackets of cosmic time. I mean, if we looked at him in his existence and we looked at his hands, his right and his left hand, those are the brackets that hold everything together. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Word. He spoke everything into existence. He controls all things. He holds it together by the sound of his voice, and I believe by the love in his heart and by what emanates from the throne room. He holds it all together, the expanse of time to the cell in your body. And for whatever reason, he has desired to have intimacy with us. In Exodus 3, after the burning bush and his marching orders for Moses, starting in verse 13, Moses says to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" I am that I am. He just is. No one created him. He has no brothers or sisters like some of the nonsense and the lies and the demonic media out there. There is no one like him. He just is. He's always existed. He was there at the beginning of all created things, and he will be there when time, temporal reality runs out. And he's present in every moment in between, including the moments I experienced over these last couple of days and yesterday. This is the true meaning of eternity. Above and beyond all creative creature existence, he just is. He's intimately close to us in every temporal experience, not passively but actively, governing and overlooking and overseeing and caring about every choice that we made, but giving to us the freedom to choose, to obey and believe. After I prayed about what should be done and made the decision, of course, Bo had a burst of energy. He walked a little bit better. Still had trouble getting up. I could still see he was in pain. But there were fleeting moments that in my natural, logical mind, I wanted to say, well, maybe he's got some time left and I don't need to do this, and I'll cancel the appointment for the vet to come to the house. But I knew in my heart that was the wrong answer. I knew that if I loved him, it was time to let go. But I could have chosen to disobey the leading of the Lord in my heart and the feeling I had in the spirit, and I could have been selfish. He gives us time to make choices. When he said, "Let there be light in the firmaments of the heaven, and to divide the day and the night, let there be signs and seasons for days and years," he gave us the outline. He gave us the way to measure times and seasons. There was no modern clock. There were no minutes and seconds. Matter of fact, the more I thought about this today, the more I realized that modern man's clock watching, tight scheduling, minute to the second to the minute, has been a trick of the enemy that I don't actually have the words for yet as I'm speaking this to you, but I realize that the way we've come to measure time, which came from the Greeks and the Romans, and wasn't of God, because if it was, it would have been in the Word. There were no seconds or minutes or even hours as measured as we are. Hours were just units of divided time that they measured by the movement of the sun, the rising and the going down. They counted years by the cycle of seasons, but observed the sun's return to its orbit. The months were not based on arbitrary 30 days or whatever, but they were counted from one moon to the next. Therefore, the person who measured time was not the man who made the clock, who determined how things were or daylight. No, it was him. He measured time. He set time. And he designs and declares when it's time. So the early Israelites, they counted morning till evening. They counted the day in between, and they measured things from sundown to sunrise to the sundown again, which is why the Sabbaths and the days begin on sundown. But the word day had a significance as a marker, a commemoration. The day of rejoicing, the day of trouble, the day of salvation, the day of the Lord. That's not like, well, the day of the Lord's coming and it's within 24 hours. And so set your watches 12:01, there it is, day of the Lord. No, it's not like that. It's not like that at all. Because what day is it? Is it the day that it starts in Israel? Well, because they're 7 or 8 hours ahead of us, I think 7 hours. So for me, they're already into tomorrow. So if it was the day of the Lord, I would have missed it. All of this has nothing to do with anything except for the fact that he has measured things according to time and seasons in his control. The day of Israel's election, the day when God brought his people out of Egypt, a day of restoration, a day of judgment, the day of the Lord. All of these things are things that we need to look at from his perspective. I believe that's probably why people are happier, that get off the grid and get away from the rat race and don't measure it by a clock or a smartphone or the way our ancestors, the early settlers, they got up when the sun came up. They went to bed when the sun went down, and they lived a life that wasn't based upon seconds or minutes, but based upon the cumulative of a day. I think he designed our bodies that way. I think that's why we're sick and we have all these problems, because the clock that he put in our DNA doesn't line up with what the world wants. He also made a time and a season when we would have to answer for everything. And I've been doing a lot of thinking over the last 2 days as I kept hearing times and seasons. There's a season for everything and the fullness of time. And I've been thinking about what I believe is coming, and how unprepared the body is. The other thing, and this will be the topic of the next video that I'm going to make, the 5-minute reflection, is about the suddenlies of life. When his time does not match yours, and something suddenly happens. And many times it's created by our own hand. If you go to Daniel chapter 4, King Nebuchadnezzar created suddenly in his life when Daniel came and gave the interpretation. And part of it was a prophecy of judgment that would come upon King Nebuchadnezzar. Let me lay it out for you. Daniel 4:29, at the end of 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace in Babylon, the king saying, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for royal dwelling by my mighty power for the honor of my majesty?" Well, while the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses." The very hour the word was fulfilled according to Nebuchadnezzar, he was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird claws. At the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" At the same time, my reason returned to me. For the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me, and I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways justice, and to those who walk in pride he's able to put down. Unfortunately, Nebuchadnezzar did not retain his lesson. But the judgment on Nebuchadnezzar was for a time to enforce humility. See, times and seasons have a purpose. Is there something going on in your life right now that has been going on for a time or a season that you're not getting what the Lord is trying to teach you? Or, like we've all done, are you spiritually on your back, kicking in your feet and throwing a tantrum, thinking that you'll get your way, not understanding his ways are not your ways? His ways are higher than yours. Times and seasons, no matter what takes place, have a purpose. It doesn't matter how much it hurts. It doesn't matter how much it makes no sense. Our finite minds do not understand an infinite God. Habakkuk writes in chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, "The Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on the tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry." We all have dreams and plans and things we'd like to do. But if they don't line up with his time, you're going to be frustrated. I've been there. Now that I'm older, now that I've been in this walk for a while, I see where, had he given it to me or done it when I wanted to, I would have royally messed it up. But you see, that even applied to his promise of a Messiah. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, Galatians 4:4. And then, of course, it'll apply to when he comes back, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Messiah, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. So even his coming is a time and a season. So we know at times of what are seasons. Well, seasons can be an indefinite but somewhat extended period of time. It could be a regularly scheduled recurring time. Or it could be a particular part of the year, an indefinite part of the day, a time appointed by God, the proper time for an action, according to the Holman Bible Dictionary. Basically, biblically, the seasons were summer and winter, seed time and harvest. Well, it's the same for us. It's the same for us spiritually. This summer and this winter. Winter's uncomfortable. We would rather have summer. We'd rather have it nice and warm and comfortable and not deal with the coldness of winter. But if you study planting, and if you understand the concept of sap and fruit and how fruit is produced, it needs cold. It needs a change in the seasons. It can't always be one. It has to be summer or winter, seed time or harvest. But that's not how the world tells us. You can have it whatever way you want it. Have it your way. Oh, pray whatever you want. Get whatever you want. Name it, claim it, all those things. They don't line up with the word, folks. I prayed and cried out to my Father. First to heal Bo, then not to take him, and then not to make me have to make the decision. And for whatever reason, he didn't answer those prayers. So it's up to me to find the answers of why. It's up to me to understand why, and I'm not asking you to write me or to give me your theory or your opinion. I will find it because he will show it to me. But my point is this, and that everything in your life, stop whining, stop crying, and look for why. Prayerfully find why. Get on your knees, get on your face, get under your prayer shawl and your prayer closet, however it is you do it, and seek his face. Seek why. You know, we made a promise to Noah, Genesis 8:22, that as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night, shall not cease. And we know that when he comes back in the New Jerusalem, it's always day because it's always light. But there's a sustained rhythm to the seasons that create an order. Well, guess what? There's a sustained rhythm in our walk that creates order if we will go along with it. Times and seasons. And again, I've shared it in the book, The Supernatural Battle. As I grew, as I became more adept at what I was doing with the Lord, he began to push me out of the nest in which I had been nurtured. Didn't want to leave. Finally, he had to kick me out of the nest and destroy it behind me so that I couldn't go back. And then once we had the home fellowship and began to minister to the homeless and the signs and the wonders and everything began to happen, I missed the moment that he said to me, the season's over, shut it down. And I didn't. I didn't obey. And he let it die. I missed the moment. I missed the time. I missed the season. That's why I think it's better if you're not so bright to serve him. You can't think about it. You can't rebel. You can't choose to do otherwise. But it happens all the time. The Sadducees and the Pharisees, they didn't get it because the coming of Messiah and the manner in which he came didn't line up with what they expected, nor was it what they wanted, which is why he railed on them in Luke 12 and Matthew 16. Whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say a shower is coming, and so it is. When you see the south wind blow, you say there will be hot weather, and there is. Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it you do not discern this time? In Matthew, it's a little different, where he says to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who were testing him to show them a sign from heaven. What they meant was like the fire that fell on Mount Carmel with Elijah. And the Lord said, when it's evening, you say it'll be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it'll be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seek after a sign. No sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. And I think at that moment, when he walked away after saying that, he was done with the Sadducees, he was done with the Pharisees, he was done trying to help them understand they didn't want to understand. and the beginning of the signs of the times came with him coming out of the grave. The sign of the prophet Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the whale, 3 days in the belly of the earth, resurrection. But there was another sign in a time that we've been talking about that we must focus on and pay attention. You know, Acts 1, when he says, "You've heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Instead of asking, "What do you mean? What does that mean? How do we use it?" their question is, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He's talking wonderfully creative power, spiritual things, and they want to know about politics and geography. And his answer in Acts 1:7 is, "It's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth." And we know what happened in the upper room. The fire fell. People got filled with the Spirit. It continues to happen today. And that was the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, which I believe was the ticking of the clock of the time, of the end times, the beginning of the end. The pouring out of the Holy Spirit was the beginning of the end. And we've been watching it play out this whole time, and we're in it now. Everything has a season and a time in our life, and we need to discern and understand them. And the hardest part, especially for me, maybe I'm just talking to me, the hardest part is taking our desires out of the equation. I have to remind myself it's His will done His way. Everybody wants to talk about the scripture from Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And unfortunately, everybody inserts into that the future they want and what they hope for. But what does it say? "I know the thoughts that I think toward you." His thoughts. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. The plans that He has are His will, His way, His time, and His season. And there are going to be times like when He approached the fig tree and it wasn't in season and He wanted fruit and there was no fruit and He cursed it and it died all the way to the root. Now most people would say, "Well, Lord, that's pretty unreasonable. You came to that fig tree out of season." Well, I've learned this much. When the Lord of all creation, the one that spoke everything into existence, comes to something for fruit, season or not, you should have fruit. His plans, His will, His way, His time, and season. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck or harvest what is planted. Time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. And then he goes on to say, the preacher, Solomon, "What profit has the worker from that which he labors? I've seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end." Everything is beautiful in its time. God's works are well done in its time. They are orderly, they are in harmony, and there is beauty in them because they are in His time. Even the caterpillar is finished in beauty when it changes through that process that at the perfect time comes out of the cocoon as a beautiful butterfly. There's nothing that man can do to help it, to change it. Matter of fact, the more man puts his hands on it, the more he bungles it and messes it up. So why? Why do we go through what we go through? Why did I experience what I've experienced over these last couple of days and probably will for a while? Bo and I were incredibly close, connected in a way that words can't even describe. Why? I've asked him that question a lot, knowing full well that he doesn't have to answer me. He doesn't have to explain himself to me. We live in a fallen world, and unfortunately, this is a part of the equation until the Lord comes back and fixes it. But we're in a time and a season of change. And here's why I'm sharing this with you. I'm doing pretty good at holding it together. I didn't think I'd be this good. What are you going through right now? You're in a time or a season that it might be time to let things die. It might be time to let things go. It might be time to stop weeping and laughing or mourning and dancing. It might be a time to gain, or it might be a time to lose. It might be time to throw away. What's in your life that you don't need? And I don't mean physically, but that may apply because maybe he's getting ready to move you. But how many times do we miss, like I did, those moments where we don't know what's the next step? He just simply says, like he said to me that Sunday in July, standing in my kitchen as I'm getting ready to enter a packed family room, shut it down. Instead of trusting him and knowing that whatever was next was coming was going to be great, I didn't. And it died. A wheezing, horrible death. That a packed room of 40 plus people wound up with me, my family, and one or two other people. I know I missed out on a blessing. I don't know what it was. But I didn't discern the time or the season of where I was. I didn't understand that to go to the next level of ministry, I got to leave the last level behind. It's like school. You go to first grade, second grade, all the way up till you graduate from college. You got to leave things behind. Well, I don't want to leave my friends. Or I like this job, I don't want to leave. And then you turn down the new job and your position gets eliminated. A couple of weeks later, you missed an opportunity because you didn't discern that it was time to go. It's time to let things go. Maybe in a relationship you need to let go. Maybe you're in a partnership you need to let go. Maybe you need to set those things that are behind you behind and move on. Stop complaining about it. Stop thinking about it. Stop trying to figure it out. Just go on. It's time. And to everything, there is a season. And the season I believe we're in and I'll just be blunt, it's a season that we don't have time to waste. We don't have time for foolishness. We don't have time to be looking at things that have no value or to be studying things or caught up in accumulation of knowledge that really doesn't change anything. You are wasting time. What in your life are you fixated on that is causing you to miss the suddenlies, the blessings, the moments, the things that have happened that are so wonderful that would never have happened had we not been free enough to get them? And sometimes it hurts beyond anything I can describe to you. But I know he knows what he's doing. I don't know if I'm getting through. Maybe this was just for me. But that's okay if it was. But what are you holding on to? Or what have you let go that you shouldn't have? Here's what I would ask you to do. I'd ask you to open your Bibles and go to Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. And go through those 8 lines. Those 14 different opposites. And fill in the blanks. What is this saying to you? Is it time to heal? Is it time to stop being busy? Is it time to get busy? Ask yourself these questions and begin to discern the times so that you're not caught off guard, so that you're not like the foolish virgins who were not ready for when the bridegroom showed up. They weren't ready for his timing. I don't think the church is ready. That's just my opinion. I think there's a remnant that is trying to be ready. But I think for the most part, the church won't be. They're too busy desiring things that have nothing to do with this world, this temporal world that's going to pass away in the moment, in the blink of an eye, holding on to things that have no value, holding on to things that have no eternal purpose. Father, help us to understand. Help us to understand what you're doing in our lives. It was a time to be born again, and there will be a time to die physically and maybe die to our own dreams, our own desires, our own plans and schemes. A time to plant with the seeds that you've given us and a time to harvest what we've planted. Time to kill things in our life that are idols, that have distracted us, that have hurt us. But it's also a time to heal once we do. Time to break down. You can't move on. You can't plant a garden unless you clear it. You can't fix a building that has a cracked foundation unless you break it down and tear it up. And then it'll be time to build up. A time to weep, Father, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. And I've done all those things. I've wept, I've laughed, I've mourned, I've danced. And they all have their purpose. Speak to your children. Show them what time it is for them. Is it a time to weep, to let it out, to heal their hearts? Is it a time to laugh and be joyful in your salvation? Is it a time to mourn those things which are gone that are not coming back, including loved ones, relationships, opportunities? And then a time to dance in the freedom and the joy and the love and to praise you the way David danced. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. So many different directions that one could go, Lord. People are carrying things they don't need to carry anymore. They need to let them go. They need to make markers of their life to know they'd been that way before. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Father, I just speak to your children. Just speak to them through these scriptures. Speak to them in your word. Speak to them through your Holy Spirit. Speak to them in the power from the throne room. I praise you, Father. I praise you, Lord. I thank you, Holy Spirit. everything in the fullness of time. And as we enter into a new season, as we enter into a time in history, a time in politics, a time in finance, as we enter into these moments, we see through the lens of prophecy. Let us be alert, awake. Let us discern what you're saying, not what man is saying, not what the false prophets and the liars are saying, but what you're saying, and apply it to kingdom building. Your kingdom, not ours. To set the captives free. To make disciples of people. Not make them pew sitters or take a place in a chair, but make disciples of them. To love them, to walk with them, to care about them, to mourn and to cry with them, to cheer and to shout with them. To let go of those things and press on to the higher calling, leaving those things which are behind. So that we can be ready for your arrival. So that we can have the oil in our lamps and in our hearts and our souls and our spirits and be ready for the return of the King. Be ready for your appearance in the sky. Heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit. Not bogged down by this world or the cares of this world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, all the things that the devil and the snake oil salesmen that stand in the pulpits have put upon your people to deceive them. Father, I ask right now and I call for a purging fire. A purging fire from the throne room, from the altar of incense, Lord. A purging fire to seal the mouths shut of the liars and to burn us clean of the things of this world that are not of you. Set us free. Set us free of the sin. Set us free of the doubts. Set us free of the perversions and the debaucheries of this world. Heal our bodies. Heal our minds, our souls, and our spirits, even down to the DNA. Father, I pray, and I pray it every day, return us back to your divine design. Let us be lights in the darkness. Let us be beacons in the storm, leading people to you, not to us or a church or a denomination or a personality or a pastor, but leading them to you. And I say, Father, forgive us. Forgive us for our shortcomings. Forgive us for listening to false teachings. And forgive us for losing our way. And I ask all these things in Yeshua's name. Amen. Times and seasons. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.